Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Thanks for joining me on the Go and Teach radio program. I'm Ryan Goodwin. I preach for the Monte Vista Church of Christ here in Phoenix, Arizona. As always, the invitation to study is available to you. If you hear anything at all in this program today that you'd like to study further, or if you have questions about the Bible, about our faith, or about God and His Son Jesus Christ, then please reach out to Monte Vista, and we'd love to sit down and have that Bible study with you. Now, if you've got your Bibles handy, turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. That's where we're going to be studying in our radio program today. This is normally the time of year when most of us begin making a spring cleaning list. We observe all the chores and the odd jobs that were ignored all winter, and we resolve to set our homes in order. Whether it's weeding, planting, organizing, or cleaning out the garage, we might spend an entire Saturday or longer improving the quality of our homes through nothing more than what we should have been doing all year long. Perhaps there's a great spiritual lesson here as we consider some of the spring cleaning chores that ought to be done to our souls. It's time for each one of us to renew ourselves with the power of the gospel and a clean heart, just as we're told to do throughout the scriptures in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 25, for example, where Jesus says, "For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also." 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump of dough." Titus 1 verse 5, "Set in order the things that are lacking." Or James 4 and verse 8, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So this is what brings us to 2 Kings 22 and King Josiah's great spring cleaning endeavor in the temple in Jerusalem. So as we observe the early years of Josiah's reign in 2 Kings 22, the theme of spiritual spring cleaning immediately comes to mind. For generations, the people of Judah, though much more faithful than their northern counterparts in Israel, were nevertheless only marginally fascinated with God throughout their history. Much of the past glory of Jerusalem had been lost because of neglect. Now, it was neglect of the temple itself, or a failure to pay Levites their wages, ignoring the proper sacrificial system, forgetting about the existence of the Holy Scriptures, and forgetting about the great festivals that gave them not only a national identity, but a religious and spiritual identity as well. Now the same, in a sense at least, can be true of us today. Most of us don't purposefully ignore God or His commandments, we simply neglect them. We forget about them, like old clothes in the closet, or a box of rememberies in the garage. We don't wake up in the morning resolving to pray less, to read infrequently, or to ignore the plight of our brethren when they have needs. But the cares and the concerns of the world take up so much of our time that we can't help but shove the requirements of God to the bottom of the stack or to the very bottom of our to-do list. So King Josiah decides that work needs to be done to the temple in Jerusalem. Read verses 3 through 7 of our text. "Now it came about in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord to repair the damages to the house, to the carpenters and the builders and the masons, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Only no accounting shall be made with them for the money delivered into their hands, for they deal faithfully. He knew that work needed to be done on the temple, even though he was not yet aware of the requirements of the law, since the law was still lost and forgotten. He knew that there was something wrong with a temple that was in disarray. Now, perhaps Josiah's reasons might be a mystery in the scriptures, but it is interesting that even without knowing the codified law, even without having that law to guide him, this young king still feels some innate need to devote himself to the things pertaining to God. He recognizes there's disorder in his life and the lives of his people, and that that disorder is centered around the temple. He understands, even in relative ignorance, that a dilapidated temple cannot possibly be pleasing to God. Similarly, the first step toward our own spiritual recovery is admitting that we need to change something at all. If we don't recognize that our home is in disarray, then we'll never feel compelled to clean it. And as Jesus put it so well in Matthew 9, verses 12 through 13, it's not the healthy who need a physician, but the sick. That is to say, those who do not believe they need help will never ask for it. So let's keep reading again here in verse 8 now. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought word back to the king and said, Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And it came about when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Now the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, Go, inquire of the Lord for me and the people, and all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us. Because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. So if you want to put this in modern terms, keeping it in the context of our spring cleaning theme today, you never know what you might find when you engage in spring cleaning. It often yields some very surprising results. Cleaning out the garage, for example, or cleaning out your attic will open your eyes to the hidden treasures that you've always had, such as your childhood toys or old records, clothes that have finally come back into style after many years, memorabilia from life's major events, or heirlooms and antiques that are now quite valuable. It's often quite surprising how much fun it is to find all of your one-time prized possessions which you've allowed to go by the wayside. So in our text in 2 Kings 22, the priests discover the scroll of the law of Moses while cleaning out rooms in the temple. Now they're scouring these rooms to look for the money that they can use to pay the temple workers to make repairs to the damage. But they found something even more valuable than gold. Generations had passed since the last time anybody laid eyes on this precious and divine spiritual treasure. And its disuse caused such a stir in Josiah's heart that he immediately tore his garments in agony. It pained him to know that Judah's spiritual boon was right below their noses the entire time, that the answers they had looked for in idols and heathenism were available to them, if not for neglect. And remember, Josiah is still carrying the guilt of a legacy of sinfulness. His father and grandfather, they were child sacrificers. They were pagan idol worshippers. They were corrupt to the very core. And the country of Judah followed their kings into corruption. and became spiritually corrupt as well, from the very top to the very bottom. Now Josiah has to face that, knowing that the whole time all they had to do was look in a neglected room in the temple to find the answer to their spiritual problems, to find God's truth and God's prescription for sin. It was just right there. All they had to do was open the door and find it. When you decide to take a deeper look into the attic of your spiritual life, you may also be disheartened at first, and yet inwardly pleased after some investigation. You might find some things that you'd lost over the years, relationships that you thought were lost, attitudes that you used to have before you became bitter or cynical about the way the world works, romance that had been set aside and ignored because of the distractions and practicalities of a life raising children, innocence that used to be your constant companion, a relationship with God that had been covered in a sheet and then shoved to the very back, a love and zeal for reading and learning about the Bible, a meaningful prayer life, a sense of usefulness and innate value that can only come with participating in church activities. Of course, spring cleaning also reveals a lot of problems, too. You might clean out the attic and find mold. You might empty the garage and find problems with the foundation of your house. You may look through box after box after box and find that moths and moisture have ruined some of those great treasures from your past. Josiah's spring cleaning may have brought the law back to his attention, but it also revealed how unfaithful the nation had been for so long. You might not always like what you find while digging deeper, but it's usually a very necessary process to finding spiritual well-being. Let's keep reading in our text to see how this plays out, beginning in verse 14. So all of these people went to Huldah, the prophetess, keeper of the wardrobe, and they spoke to her in verse 15. Now she said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah has sent you to inquire of the Lord. Thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you've torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord." So there was a humility on Josiah's part. He was willing to admit his responsibility in this matter. Even though his father and grandfather had been unfaithful to God, even though they and their contemporaries were the ones who had hidden the book of the law of God in that dirty little room on the side of the temple, Josiah didn't blame them. He took responsibility. Where he could have been different from his father and grandfather, and he had the choice. So he tore his garments, not because they did something wrong, but because he acknowledged that he had done something wrong. God appreciates and respects and honors us when we're willing to take responsibility for our sins, when we don't play the blame game where it's always our parents' fault or society's fault or somebody else's fault that I am the way I am. When we take responsibility for our sins, God sees that. And he hears our pleas. He hears our prayers begging for forgiveness, begging for another chance, and begging for the strength and the opportunity to make things right through a hearty dose of spring cleaning. Another lesson that I learned from Josiah's spring cleaning is that the job is never done if you only do it halfway. That's true of yard work. That's true of cleaning out the garage. That's true of any plumbing job that you do. Really, it's true of any DIY project. Do any of our spouses appreciate it or enjoy it when we start a project? When we start tearing drywall down or removing pipes or turning the water off in the house and then only get the job done halfway and quit and move on? Nobody likes living in a house full of half-completed DIY projects. So unlike many people, Josiah made it a point to set about cleaning the house of Judah with all of his heart, never failing or quitting until it was completed. Let's keep reading in 2 Kings 23 and verse 1. So the king sent, and they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. And notice here what it says in verse 3. With all his heart and all his soul, and to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people entered into the covenant. So the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and the priests of the second order and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. It says in verse 5 that he did away with all of the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had appointed to burn incense. It says in verse 6 that he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord and burned them at the brook Kidron, ground it to dust and threw its dust on the graves of the common people. In verse 7, he broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes which were in the house of the Lord. In verse 7, then he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah, all the priests who had defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. And he broke down those high places of the gates which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city. And in verse 10, he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire of Molech. That's offering children as sacrifices to the god Molech. He did away with the horses, which the kings of Judah had given to the sun in verse 11. Verse 12, and the altars which were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, all of these altars he broke down and smashed them. And in verse 13, in the high places which were before Jerusalem, which were on the right of the Mount of Destruction, he destroyed these as well. Verse 14, he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the ashram and filled their places with human bones. Furthermore, in verses 15 and onward, it describes the way that he went throughout all of Israel to cities that were not directly under his control as the king of Judah, and he destroyed the high places and the idolatrous temples. And he had the priests of those idolatrous houses executed as well. This was, to be sure, a very complete spring cleaning. As Josiah disposed of the sinful garbage throughout his land, here's a couple of lessons that we take away from it. It was a complete and thorough cleaning job. There was no space that was left unchecked. The contraband was totally destroyed, even to the point of being burned and turned into dust. And nothing was kept. There were no holdouts. There were no compromises. They didn't keep anything to remember their idolatrous years by. It was total. It was complete. Spring cleaning tends to reveal rampant problems. We often throw worthless stuff in the storage area of our garage, thinking that we might need it again someday. And before we know it, though, we filled that space with all manner of old appliances, with clothes, odd-shaped things, and our life's general flotsam. It's good to be reminded, however, of the dangers involved in keeping too much stuff. Now, that's absolutely true of a literal hoard of junk in your house, but it's also true of the spiritual hoard, the spiritual baggage, hoarding old sins and bad attitudes that ought to be taken to the dump and thrown away permanently. After all, we're told in Ephesians 4:22 to lay aside our sinful practices, and in Galatians 5:24 to crucify the flesh with all of its evil practices. We're supposed to be new people when we become Christians. While it might be important to have a garage sale every now and then, with some of the old things that we find in our garage, we need to realize that some things just aren't worth keeping. Some things need to be thrown away. They shouldn't be passed on to somebody else or kept as heirlooms. Some things are just garbage. Consider some of the things that you find in your garage or your attic when you go through spring cleaning, and think of them as if they were spiritual problems. We find things that are toxic, like used oil or expired chemicals. We might sometimes find very toxic attitudes that need to be disposed of immediately and properly. There's simply no good reason to hold on to hatred or lust or bad tempers or grudges. Look at some of the toxic things that the Colossians were supposed to get rid of when they became Christians. He says in Colossians 3, verse 5, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." He says in verse 8, "But now you also put them all aside." That means cast them away, throw them away. Put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. But we also find things that are outdated. As much as we want to relive the glory days, if something doesn't fit or is simply not appropriate for our age, then it needs to be disposed of. Similarly, holding on to immature attitudes or youthful lust, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:22 or 1 Timothy 6 verse 11, holding on to rebellion, these kinds of things only bring heartache. And the moment that you become a husband, a father, a wife, a mother, a breadwinner, a leader, a Christian, you no longer have the luxury of being immature about things. And there are other things that are just refuse. Most people have piles of old boxes. For some reason, we have garbage bags full of soda cans that we've never taken to be recycled, glass bottles, stacks of papers, and other refuse items that just need to be thrown away. Spiritually, you might think of these in terms of being unproductive or wasted moments. The sluggard, for example, has a life made up of empty boxes. Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, was only concerned with the superficial things, while Jesus admonished her to make room for that which is truly meaningful. Often we waste so much space on empty boxes that our lives just don't have the space for real spiritual fulfillment anymore. Now, while there are certain things that do need to be thrown away, there are also things that you may find while spring cleaning that ought to be shared. And you need to share them at a rock-bottom price. As soon as Josiah finishes cleaning out the temple and tossing out the idols and the altars and the high places, he sets his mind on sharing something with incredible value: the Scriptures. And you can read about this in 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning in verse 21, in which a Passover, like no other Passover before, is described. Having a spiritual garage sale means sharing some things. Sharing parenting advice to young couples, like Titus 2 verses 3 through 5 says. Sharing experiences that you've had which made you stronger. Sharing marital advice. Sharing insight into the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 through 13. Sharing financial wisdom. Or sharing your Christianity with unbelievers, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. When Josiah found the Scriptures in that little room on the side of the temple, he knew that this was something that everybody needed to know. Everybody had to hear the words of this great book. And as he was reading through this book, poring over the pages as if he had never heard of these things before, which it's certainly conceivable that he hadn't, he comes across the festivals that the people of Israel were supposed to be celebrating. And they had neglected things like the Passover, among the many other holy days and festivals they were supposed to be practicing. And he decides it's time to get back to the law. It's time to get back to the Word. Now maybe you're like Josiah, and you know that you need to be close to God, that you desire a relationship and yearn for closeness with Him, but you just don't know how to go about it. will open up the doors to that little room. Look for the scriptures and bring those into your life. Remove the idols and the garbage from your life and start letting the Word of God pour into your soul. My friends, there is no better way to go about spring cleaning.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monta Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monta Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.